See, I have imparted to you laws and rules, as the Lord my God has commanded me, for you to abide in the land that you are about to enter and occupy. Observe them faithfully, for that will be proof of your wisdom and discernment to other peoples, who on hearing of all these laws will say, "Surely that great nation is a wise and discerning people." For what great nation is there that has a God so close at hand, as is the Lord our God, whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has laws and rules as perfect as all this teaching that I set before you this day? But take utmost care and watch yourselves scrupulously, so that you do not forget the things that you saw with your own eyes, and so that they do not fade from your mind as long as you live. And make them known to your children and your children's children.
We looked at the Hebrew text, and Miriam read it in Hebrew because that's how she would read it in her own worshipping community. And then she read it in English because lots of us don't understand Hebrew. And then Daniel explained a little bit about why he picked that text and how it functions within the liturgy, Jewish liturgy. And that, in a sense, was just his taster for us to begin to engage with the text in its bigger context.
The way the verse starts, the passage, is the word "see." Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. What is he trying to say? As if he's trying to justify for something, or they expecting something from him. So he's telling them, "See, look, I have not the rules and the laws." Maybe they didn't believe him.
The book of Deuteronomy, Devarim, is very... it has lots of phrases like this, and the most famous one is in the passage which becomes the Shema, one of the most important Jewish prayers. And the word Shema is hear or listen, and it's a kind of... it really uses your senses. See, listen, and hear. You know, it's very immediate and present. This is something that's real.
Wisdom is also about seeing things, but also learning from it. It's also having something in your mind, but also practical. So you have rules, but the wisdom is not only to have these rules, but also to apply them to your life, to daily life. Mm-hmm. And also, like here, the fact that there is the fact of transmission. So make them known to your children and your children's children.
The laws and rules, it says, for you to abide by. Actually, it then goes on to say, for that will be proof of your wisdom and discernment to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And actually, it's your modelling of that law that is something about that wisdom. It's not just the obeying of the law.
There's a modelling, the people model the commandment and the laws to other peoples,
yeah.
And then you're also saying they model it for their children as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that the children are the foreigners who then
and that's the
learn.
Role of seeing, you know, you see, so when you see you learn, and then you pass that. That's, I mean, seeing is repeated many times here. See, saw, and also hearing, all these
really interesting questions about what is wisdom and how do they demonstrate this wisdom to the people that don't know the laws that they're keeping, and does the wisdom come because they follow the laws or because of their relationship with God? I think when you are looking at texts like that round the table together, it stops you sort of assuming that you know what a text means, because it asks questions about it, and it also broadens your own understanding. Yes, true of somebody else's text, of another tradition's text, but often of your own. You come away thinking, I've read that text so often, I know it well, and I never thought of that about it.
I can really see how it works to pass them on to your children, because they've kind of grown up in the atmosphere of observing them and seeing you observe them. But I'm wondering how observing these commandments that are unique to Israel actually is proof of their wisdom to other people that haven't grown up in those commandments. But how is that going to work? What is it about them observing them in their context that is going to make everybody else think that they're wise?
That throws a lot of emphasis on the seeing again, because if they're outside the community, they're not participating, they're not doing, they're literally watching.
Well, although in this case it knows, it says who on hearing of all these laws. So in this
so
case
they're
I think
hearing.
Okay. There could be some sense of distance learning in the sense that they're it's interesting. There's something about the laws that convey wisdom and understanding, but without having to see them in debt.
If it's obedience to a set of rules. And I'm imagining that the contrast to that would be a kind of anarchy.
It says here it's the observing them faithfully, that's the proof. That does make it sound like it's the faithful commitment. But I think if we also look later on, when the other peoples would say in verse 8, what great nation has laws and rules as perfect as this teaching?
Yeah.
Part of it is the faithful keeping, but it seems there could be a sense that if it were faithful keeping of unjust commandments, other people wouldn't be so impressed.
Also, the verse before that, in verse 7, it says, for what great nation is there that has a God so close at hand as the God, as is the Lord our God, whenever we call upon him? So it's maybe something, it's not just to do with the practice of the people, but also to do with how God has had a relationship with this people through history. So maybe it is going back again to the splitting of the Red Sea or the revelation on Mount Sinai. There's some visible presence of God in the life of this people.
Mm. Actually, what does the text does not say is what is wisdom? What is considered actually wise? Is it to believe in God? Is it to just follow the laws? What is it actually?
It says the nation is a wise and discerning people. It's sort of, is there something in the communal element that are they wise in their social interactions? It doesn't say each of the individuals is wise, but maybe they're wise in the way they come together as a community, potentially. It's
something elsewhere, I think it might be in the book of Proverbs. Doesn't it talk about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom?
Right.
And I wonder if, you know, in a way, if that's the starting point, because in a way that's the starting point of the story of the people of Israel. It has to do with their relationship with God. It ties in with that relational thing that is to do with the relationship with God.
Yeah. We should probably wind up, if that's all right, and move on to the New Testament text.
Scriptural reasoning is about recognizing and understanding our differences, and that is really, really important. We don't want to read our scriptures and look for all sorts of common ground between us. For a start, we don't even think scripture is the same thing. We understand scripture differently, we read scripture differently, we interpret scripture differently, we have different levels of freedom within which we can reason with scripture, and we don't want to knock each other in the ways that we're familiar with. We just want to learn more about each other's practices of reading.